Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 78, and I am Libby, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Hi, I'm Tom from La Crescenta.
This is Allison from Tarzana.
This is Amy from Encino.
Peter from Glendale.
And welcome back, guys. I have some news. First up is the show Protector that I covered the pilot of at the beginning of the summer has been canceled. And I remember I said that the show was blah, with a little bit of more blah.
What network is it on?
It's on Lifetime. Okay. And the fact that Lifetime canceled it, I mean, they haven't canceled anything, right? So that's not good. That show was just boring. It was like a cop show, but it showed that she was a mother, and it was all about her trying to be a mom and be a murder investigator. I was like, how do those two things go together? Like, I don't see the audience of that having a lot of crossover. And apparently it didn't. So there you go. The next thing I want to talk about is that HBO has just greenlit a series by Aaron Sorkin.
Yay.
And it is going to be a newsroom. So instead of a sports center where they talk about sports shows, these guys actually just talk about, you know, news.
Or behind the scenes at a Saturday Night Live-like show.
I know. I'm like, it's
smart,
not
smart people talking fast. That's what Aaron Sorkin
likes. Aaron, that's his thing. That's what he does. He's good at it. Every show that he's done so far, I've liked. But when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. Hasn't he done that already? And then I was like, oh, wait. That was a sports show. All right.
But yeah, what's nice about this is that it promises to be more political, so it's kind of getting back to his West Wing roots.
That's true.
Which is kind of fun, so I'm looking forward to this one.
Well, it's not like I'm not going to watch it, because I'm going to totally watch it.
It's HBO and Sorkin.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. That's not even a question. I guess I wanted him to get a little bit outside of his comfort zone, just a touch.
Well, didn't he do the script for Moneyball,
which got a really good review from Variety.
Okay, yeah. That's cool.
So there you go.
I wonder how much the show is going to be like that movie Network.
I love Network.
I love Network.
Have you seen it recently? It holds up so well, it's scary.
All right, Tom, you have some news?
I have two pieces of news. Sci-Fi picked up Alphas for season 2. I guess the ratings are good, and it must be cheap, because I would rather they picked up more Eureka, but Comcast declared that Eureka was too expensive on their pro wrestling budget.
I was going to say, I've liked Eureka this season, but given a choice, I mean, sorry, I've liked Alphas this season, but given a choice, I'd rather see more Eureka myself, so.
Oh, yeah, of course.
What was your other thing?
And the other thing is that MTV, of all places, is considering picking up Fox's failed pilot Lock and Key, which previously Sci-Fi had thought about doing but passed on.
Well, I'm actually glad they passed on it, because the budget would have been $5. I'm happy about that. That's a good thing.
We'll see. Terry O'Quinn was in the pilot. It was much buzzed about, and they screened it at Comic-Con.
But I didn't see it. Well, I didn't see a lot of pilots, but anyway. Anybody else have any news?
Yes. I found out that Fox has unleashed, to quote TV Overmind, a 12-part web series for Fringe called Past, Present, and Future to lead up to the big season premiere on September 23rd.
Oh, so, that's cool. I got to check that out, because I do love Fringe, and I like the arc of what they've been doing. And I just wanted to note for people, next week we're going to be doing, because most of the shows are finaleing out this week, next week we're going to be doing a fall preview. So, you know, and give our predictions of which shows we think are going to fall flat on their faces. The other thing is...
And succeed.
Which ones we're most excited about. Right. And one other thing before we get started on the shows, I just wanted to talk about a show real quick, which we haven't talked about on the podcast because I haven't found anybody else who watches it, but I felt the need to mention it, which is Rizzoli and Isles, which is a TNT show. It's been on all summer, and I haven't talked about it at all on the podcast because my guests are Neanderthals and don't watch it. But it's the reason that I like it. I think it's interesting. It's a flip on the whole, you know, buddy cop show that is usually two guys, and all the shows that USA comes out with are two guys that have great relationships. They work together, blah, 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 and they're so close, and there's ultimate bromance. But Rizzoli and Isles is two women, And I don't know what the term is when you have two women who are basically, who have basically the exact same relationship you see on these shows, where it's two guys who are best friends and codependent and block each other from dating other people, and they do the whole thing, and they totally insinuate like a relationship between the two women, but then the two women, but then not. It's like they tease it, but they do it in a way that usually when I see that on television, I roll my eyes, because it's always guys writing the plot and it's their fantasy of two women, and I'm just like, whatever, man. But this show, I really like it. I really like the relationship, and I really like just the quirkiness. It's funny. And anyway, I like the show. So I usually don't talk about it in the podcast, but it's about to end for the summer. I guess I should have mentioned it at the beginning of the show versus the end. But it's gone two seasons. It got renewed for a third season, so I'm happy and excited. But I just got to wait for the summer to get the show, which is annoying. Anyway, now on to the shows. First up is True Blood, and this is the penultimate episode and leading up to the finale. And the only thing I have to say is that as I was watching the episode and it got towards the end, I was like, well, the finale is going to be anticlimactic if we finish everything right now.
But it was just too neat. It was too soft. It was too neat. I knew it was not going to be that easy.
Of course not.
Right. Yeah. Well, I was like, wow, everything worked out really well for everyone.
Yeah, just a nice little bow wrapped up all neatly. You know, no.
Yeah.
Can't get off that easy. Not with True Blood.
I liked it. It was exciting in the head. I thought for sure they were going to toast somebody that we care about. Like,
well, there's always next week.
No. Exactly. All bets are off for next week. But, you know, it looked like Pam was going to buy a farm there for a second.
Right.
Looked like Jesus was going to buy the farm.
Oh, yeah. I'm
still thinking he would be at the top of the list for a casualty from next week. I thought the revelation that when Lafayette sees Antonia vomited out of Marty.
Right.
And then, since when, you know, he's a medium. Since when?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, Tara was like, what's going on? Yeah, Tara's like, I've been out of the loop for what? I've been only kidnapped for about a couple of days, and all of a sudden he's a medium.
See, that's what happens when you leave town to become a female cage fighter.
Peter, you didn't say anything yet. What's up?
No, I agree. I thought it was a good episode, and I actually was a little disappointed, even though I think Allison's right that everything was too neat. But I had known that there was going to be something at the end. And so I actually thought it was going to be... I'm sorry, I forgot the character's name. But it's the guy who slept with the fairy.
Oh, the sheriff.
Oh, yeah, Andy.
Balfour.
Andy Balfour.
I thought the very end was going to be, whoa, what does that mean? And it was going to lead to something else. And it doesn't. It just goes back to Lafayette getting possessed by Marnie. And I was like, oh, all right.
That was disappointing?
So I was a little let down.
Well, I mean, I guess I could see that, because I didn't know what was going on with the fairy and the sheriff.
Well, I want to know what's going on with that.
That's true, I do, but I actually, now that Marty's inside of Lafayette, I'm actually kind of like, because they took all the time to kill her, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm done with you, you know? So now
with
the Marty? Yeah, Marty. And now she's in Lafayette, and I guess I'm kind of like, we got to kill her again?
But yeah, I thought her last line was great when she's like, you know, nobody lives forever, not even you. Bam, and then they kill her. I was like, right. Oh, that's a pretty good way to go out. And it's like, and it's not, because she's still now she's a spirit.
Yes, now she's still with us.
Yeah.
I think that there's the real bloodbath is going to be saved for next week.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to get, you know, the real action, and that's when we're going to see a lot of death.
And I am afraid that Jesus is going to bite it too. I think
he would be on the top of my list.
Well, because also Marnie would pretty much want to kill him. I mean,
stabbing her in the back.
Yeah, because he betrayed her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If they do, that'll be the third time that Kevin Alejandro has been killed on a show. He was killed on Ugly Betty. He was killed on Southland. So if they kill him on this, it'll be like third time. And
well, I'm sure he's actually been killed more than you've kept count, but
oh yeah, but these are high profile series we're talking about.
Wait, on Ugly Betty, is he Is he the one who gets killed at the convenience store, the kid's dad?
Yeah, he's...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, huh.
All right,
I thought the, I'm really interested to see how the Eric-Sookie relationship is going to play out now that he's got his memories.
Right, he's very uncomfortable around her because she's seen
him vulnerable.
Right, so he doesn't quite know how to deal with her, yet he's still in love with her, and he wants to be around her, but he literally is almost not speaking to her now. It's a really weird thing. Like, he's willing to die for her, but he doesn't want to talk to her right now. You know,
and I felt bad for Pam, because he pretty much, exiled Pam now.
Well, Pam almost got Sookie killed.
And I know, but she's so loyal to him, and I was just like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
If you've learned nothing
I actually loved Pam's approach to dealing with that whole, oh, I'm going to kill you, no, you kill me, over Sookie thing. She was just great. I love that. No, we're not going to do that. I'm just going to take this.
Right. She's like,
she's always hated Sookie, though.
Well, because Sookie takes the attention.
Her attention.
Yes, because all of
Eric should rightfully be on her.
Right, but she's not romantically in love with Eric.
No.
But still, she kind of, I guess she's more of the kid that doesn't want her dad to date some woman.
But also, she saw two guys who were ready to blow themselves away for absolutely no reason, and she interfered with that, which was the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, and she was absolutely right. There was no way that it was going to actually burst through the energy field. She was just going to distract them from doing something stupid.
Right.
So getting angry at her was dumb.
But I think that's a justified initial reaction. If he stays angry with her, then I'll be upset.
And that's really stupid. Yeah. Exactly. And the other thing that I loved in the episode was Eric's little juice sippy cup.
Oh, with the heart?
Oh, yeah, that was
that was so juice, gross. It was awesome.
Heart as juice box.
Yes, that was awesome.
Can I just say how tired I have been of Debbie Pelt?
Oh, which one is she? Werewolf story, right.
Alcide's ex.
Yeah, now she's an ex, thank God. The thing is, in the book, she should be dead by now.
I was going to say.
And I'm like...
How far off? We've got to be way far off book.
Well, we are with her because
saying in general.
Well, in general, yeah. They brought her character in, and I thought they were going to do the same thing, and they set up the same thing, which is she attacks Sookie in her house. And Sookie shoots her with a shotgun, dead. That's what's supposed to happen. So in the show, she attacks her in her house. She shoots her, she wings her, and she jumps out the window. I was like, really? You didn't kill her? And so then they tried to be like, oh, we're going to reform her, and she'll be great.
No.
And no, it was a really bad idea. But Alcide now is in a good position where he's supposed to become the alpha. So hopefully...
Eyes glowed yellow.
He has to be accepted by the other wolves as the alpha. So hopefully, since he basically killed the last alpha, that makes him the alpha. So as long as the other wolves accept that, we're all good. So, yay. Next up, let's talk about Breaking Bad. This week's Breaking Bad episode was interesting in that it was a little different than normal. It was pretty much a flashback episode. And Peter, you said it kind of reminded you of Lost because it was like, and now we're doing a flashback of this character.
Yeah. It was pretty much an origin episode for the Chicken Man, for Gus.
Right.
But it was great. I mean, it also kind of felt the way a Battlestar episode does, where it feels like it's a setup for something bigger. Because the major stuff was almost more the flashback stuff, wouldn't you say?
Right. Yeah. Because you got to know how he became who he is, why he hates the guy in the wheelchair, and you actually got to see he used to be kind of soft. Like, he was a regular person back in the day. Now he's like this machine. Like, he gets interviewed by the cops. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't blink. Like, he is just so calm. And you know that he's actually probably terrified, but you can't read it on his face. Like, I do not want to play poker with that man.
No. I mean, when he gets in the elevator and he's tapping his finger, that's pretty much... that's, like, for him, that's like screaming.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's so tiny and something. But he better get nominated next year's Emmys, because Giancarlo Esposito is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. He stole the show. He knocked that out of the park.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, the rest... Yeah, but like I said, the rest of the episode was more kind of like setup. We see Walt talking to Jesse, and it looks like Walt kind of knows that stuff is going on. Walt basically looks at the cell phone. Jesse's out of the room, and his cell goes off, and he sees that he can tell that stuff's going on, and he kind of tests him to be like, so, is there any news? And Jesse doesn't give it up. And so, actually, that was one thing I didn't really like. I loved the show, but I was kind of like, ah, now we have to deal with that. But I'm sure they'll resolve it quickly, so it shouldn't be too... Well, you saw the trailer for next week, right?
Right, and then in the trailer, they didn't necessarily resolve that trust issue, because... The whole point of, I've said from the beginning, of Gus and Mike giving Jesse this other job is to bring his loyalty away from Walt and make, you know, and put a basically a block or a division between them and put them against each other, which is apparently working right now. And actually...
Why do that?
I could say it again?
Now, why does he want to put a block between them?
Oh, because they're trying to kill. They want to kill each other, but they're in a position. Walt has basically made it impossible for Gus to kill him at the moment. So, in order to be able to kill him later, he's setting stuff up so that Walt and Jesse are not working together. Because if they're working together, it's harder to kill them. So if they're divided, then he can kill them one at a time, which I think is a good plan, except that as divided as they get, because they'll be fighting, they'll be arguing, whatever, but when it comes down to it, where it's one of their lives, all of a sudden they start working together. So right. The preview that I was talking about that they showed for next week is that apparently Mike is planning to kill Walt. And I was like, how are they going to kill him? Because there's nothing's changed as far as we know. But Jesse basically says, if you're going to kill Mr. White, you have to go through me first. So, you know, gauntlet down. And I like that about the two of them, that they do have this loyalty to each other, even when they are complete jerks to each other. You know, when you bring it down to the wire, they will die for each other. I like it. So, yeah.
I agree.
But, yeah, it's all set up for the big finale. And also because we forgot the DEA, the brother-in-law, what is his name?
Hank.
Hank is now putting tracking devices on Gus, and he's trying to figure out that if Gus is really a drug dealer. And you've got the cartel, they put the ultimatum down for Gus, and Gus turned him down, so the cartel is going to be moving on Gus soon.
Right, which is, I'm assuming, what the big... Because that was episode 7, so we're getting close. So I'm assuming the big war is the finale, right?
Right.
And, I'm assuming that's what we're heading towards.
And Gus's problem is he can't let Hank see any of that. So he either has to kill Hank first, but if he kills Hank, then obviously, then that's going to put attention on him. So he has to figure out a way to get Hank off of his tracks before the cartel starts shooting at him.
Right, in fact, didn't Mike say it could theoretically be a perfect storm?
Right, so all of that's great tension. So it's all building up. And
Yeah.
It's exciting. I'm excited. Yeah. If I had the next episode, I would be watching it right now. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
All right, next up, we want to talk about The Closer.
Which it was good. It's solidifying for me that I really feel like this season is... partly about the big case that Brenda's got, which is, you know, whether or not she's going to go to trial and is she going to be guilty. But it's also, to me, because they're spinning off the show into Major Crime, the guy who played Jacob on Lost, another Lost reference. Do you know what that actor's name is?
Mark Pellegrino.
It's also on Supernatural.
Mark Pellegrino.
Yes.
Yeah. He's great. He's like this kind of flashy lawyer guy. And I really feel like... I don't know, I feel like this season they've been introducing these characters where I'm kind of like, oh, well, if that guy's in the new show, that would be cool, because I would like that character. You know, I would like to see that guy more.
Yeah, right. He's on Being Human on Sci-Fi, too.
Right. And
he's great. I really like him. So
He deserves his own series, is what I was going to say. They just need to give him a show and be done with it.
He's got a lot of range. But, I mean, the main episode was... the main case was there's like a teen pop girl who... basically, the dad is murdered, and that kind of makes her more popular, but she wasn't really the one behind it, right?
Yeah, it was her parents wanted to bring her to Hollywood and make her...
Yeah, I mean, it was all right. I mean, the case wasn't that big.
No, the case wasn't that important, except that what it did is it brought out, like the lawyer you were talking about, he made some of the best lines about the music video that the girl did.
Yeah, it's so terrible, I can't help but watch or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
And then every time there was any news about it, he would stop the case, what they were doing. So he's like, can we watch that now? Like he got,
you have to ask.
Exactly. Story, yeah. He got so excited about all of that. And then there was this line where she's interviewing someone, and Brenda's interviewing someone, and he's watching. And she's completely lying to this person. And he keeps going, is she telling the truth? Is she telling the truth? He's like, you're her lawyer. What do you think? And he's like, all right. So all of this, the actual case itself was blah, but all the stuff with the lawyer and Raider and all of that was really interesting. Oh, and the deal, that deal was pretty good because she kept going over the deal and kept figuring out if there was a trick to it. And she wanted to sign it and turn it in, and everybody's actually out there, except for Pope, actually. Everybody else was out to protect her, and her lawyer was like, everything in the deal, it's not so much what's in the deal, it's the absence, what's not in the deal.
Right, and actually that was a good moment when Raider actually kind of confronts Pope and basically is like, I know that you actually aren't necessarily on Brenda's side.
Right.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, we've been thinking that the whole time, but I mean, it was nice to have a character say it.
And so. He hasn't done anything overtly evil.
No,
per se.
They're not going to make Pope evil. What it is it's just that Pope likes his position and he still wants to protect the department. It's more that he's not like a villain. It's not like
No. And he's looking at the bigger picture for the department, not necessarily what's good for Brenda.
And he doesn't.
I don't think he really wants anything bad to happen to her.
No. So he's not a mustache twirling bad guy or anything.
No,
he's Pope.
No. Yeah, exactly. I love Pope. And I hope he's in the spinoff, too, actually. All right, so next we want to talk about Burn Notice. This was the
summer finale.
Yes,
right?
The summer finale. And Amy, since you said you have not ever seen Burn Notice, what did you think?
I enjoyed the twist that they did with that guy Anson.
Yes.
That guy's he's another guy that's on everything. He's on Deadwood.
Yes.
He's yeah.
Yes, seen everywhere. I just don't know the actor's name.
Jerry
he
Burns.
Was very, he was very convincing. I really felt for him when he thought that his wife was blown up in the house and he was actually reaching into Fee's purse.
That's true.
We were fooled and they were fooled.
Well, my question, when did you realize that he wasn't who he said he was?
Not until he actually revealed it.
I realized it before, but not much before. Like, I think it was Larry gets killed, and there was the extra explosion. I was like, why would Larry do an extra explosion? I was like, Larry wouldn't do that. And it's like, right around then is when I started realizing that something was wrong. And I went, wait a minute, that was all a setup. And then the guy goes, hey, it was all a setup. So
actually, I had wondered it, but I dismissed it. I wondered it when... they supposedly killed the guy's wife because I was like why would Larry do that? Doesn't make any sense. So I was like, and that's when I was like, wait, is the guy really a bad guy? But then I was like, nah, that's probably not what it is. And so then I kind of
I guess my disadvantage is that I don't really know Larry.
Oh, right.
Larry basically is a character who clearly he kind of mentored Michael, and he's always wanted Michael to get back to his more cold-hearted spy roots, and so he's always trying to pull him into these situations that Michael doesn't want. And then we saw in this episode, he brings up an incident where it's like, you know, you always talk about being burned, but you kind of deserved it, you know?
Right, right. He wants Michael to be exactly like him, and every time he shows up, he has a mission that he wants Michael to do that involves killing innocent people. Like, almost every time, there's something about it where there will be innocent people killed.
Do you think Tim Mallis is really gone now?
Well, he really got blowed up, so...
I mean, I don't know how he could survive it, but, you know, general rule in TV shows is unless I see a dead body, I don't believe it.
Yeah,
so
but...
I forget how Michael survived the explosion. Was he already out of the building?
No, he was in a vault. Remember?
Yeah, they cut to him and he's in some other room where it's not exploding. So that's why I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, they very specifically said it's a vault.
It's a vault.
Yeah, they were clear about that. That's how he survived.
Now that I guess Matheson is really gone because he's finally done.
Yeah.
My problem is the casting of the actor's name is Jerry Burns, and he always plays sleazes. And so when you cast him, I'm not going to think he's an innocent bystander or innocent victim. So I was suspicious from the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
True, but I will say though, he's very good at that kind of role.
One thing I will have to say is I was a little disappointed in that the whole cliffhanger from last week was the CIA captain.
Oh, and they took care of that in like 2 seconds.
Thank you. That was where I was like,
that's been like the seasonal arc. They're like, and here we go. I guess it's all resolved now.
Right. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like this guy, they wire Mike up. This guy on a roof. Basically, he's like, yeah, I totally killed Max. And then he jumps off the roof.
Then he conveniently jumps off a cliff, jumps off a building.
Right. And I was like, that sucks.
And normally, that's the kind of thing that would be a setup. Normally, it would be, we're recording some guy, and the guy's like, no, don't kill yourself. And then it's actually that the guy is actually killing him. Except right. that, of course, we know that's not what happened because it's Michael. But really, if I was... I mean, did they have eyes on it, or were they just audio recording?
They were just audio recording.
How do you know Michael just didn't take care of the guy?
Well, like, except that guy had a gun, and also he says basically he's going to kill himself. So,
but it could have been that they're working together. Yeah. Could have been. I mean, there's so many other...
That's true. That's that totally true. And I thought that was a lot of BS.
Also, for a summer finale... It was a little disappointing because, I mean, just in the sense of, again, for me, it is, isn't USA characters welcome? Is that USA?
Yes.
I mean, we barely get Jesse and we barely get the mom. I mean,
I
like, to me, that's, I mean, if this is gone until November, I would have liked some good scenes with everybody, you know?
Oh, one thing I did want to mention is at the very end when that guy is basically like, you're going to work for me now. He's like, yeah, I totally talked to Madeline, you know, before we burned you to make sure.
Right.
And then he says something about his dad.
Michael's dad.
And I was like, whoa, 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 what was that? And then they just don't. Then that's
it. No, but then, you know what? But then he says something about it's a shame before your dad died. So I'm like, oh. Because I think we've all been speculating perhaps Michael's dad's not dead, but then that guy just said he's dead.
Did he say he was dead?
He did say he was dead. But also, the guy is a known liar, so he could be.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I think your theory, I think, Peter, you had a theory a couple weeks ago that his father was obviously maybe in the business or something. Because the way he said it, it made it seem like his father was somebody that.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, clearly there's going to be more to that. But I don't know now if he's alive. But maybe he is. Maybe they are going to kill. Actually, that would make sense if they've just killed the Tim Matheson character, who even in this episode was like, I've always thought of you as a son. If they are actually going to cast somebody as Michael's dad, that would kind of fit.
Right, because I kind of feel like with all this buildup about his father, he can't still just be a dead guy.
I think that's going to be part of what's going to happen in the second half of the season.
Right, because they've been building that up to such a degree.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's actually the finale of the season. If it's like that's the last two episodes and then we have to wait for the next season, you know? So.
I just wish that the arc stories, they would let a whole episode be an arc story instead of just having the isolated threads at the beginning and the end.
Right,
me too.
That format's gotten a little old now.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I always feel bad for the little guys that die, like those poor guards.
Families,
and they had loved ones.
No. Well, actually, though, that is unusual. I liked it. I don't like it to kill the people, but I mean, like, I like that in the sense because since you don't watch Burn Notice is actually a very, there's explosions, but it's very rare for anybody to die unless they're the absolute bad guy. Like, so what they did in this episode, I was like, oh, they actually killed innocent people. That's pretty rare on that show.
Right.
That's why Fee was freaking out so much.
Right.
Exactly. Right.
Right. Go ahead.
Now, when the bad guy says, you know, well, who is that woman who's not your wife? And he just says, oh, just some woman.
Right.
Yeah, her name was Some Lady.
Yeah,
some
right. Lady. That was pretty cold.
More of a joke.
Well, yeah, I know, but I was just saying it was pretty cold.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, next up, let's talk about Suits. And
show
this...
that I finally watched the pilot.
hopefully geez. You did not see the finale, right?
No, I didn't see the finale. Although, in the Burn Notice, in between, there was a commercial for the Suits finale. And it was just interesting that I have no idea what's going on, but it was interesting that it looks like Is it, what's their name, Mike and Harvey?
Right.
Yes.
They both are clearly hooking up with some babes, because one's making out with some blonde girl, and the other one's a brunette. I was like, what's going on with this? Like, you know,
there was no relationship for Harvey. It was all, Mike is stuck between two women. He's got the paralegal.
Rachel.
And
to hook up with her?
Well, that's the problem.
I thought she was like, no, you think I'm gorgeous. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, of
course. They've kissed. They haven't hooked up yet.
Yeah, but then the girlfriend of his ex-best friend, the blonde chick.
Jenny
is who he...
I didn't like that girl at all.
I know. Yes, I don't like her either. I really like him with the paralegal.
Oh, yeah, the paralegal's great and gorgeous, but... Oh, okay. But so, yeah, in the trailer, they didn't really show what the story of it was. I mean, should I hear about it, or is it going to ruin something?
Well, not really.
Suits isn't really a twisty show, is
it? Right. It's not really. Mainly, the main thing is it was actually from last week. Did you see last week? No, you didn't see last week. I'm looking at Tom. So basically, from last week, we find out that Harvey was involved in this case, that he thought that he was doing above board, but his boss was suppressing evidence and lying, and so he's basically sent this guy to prison for 12 years. So this week's episode is he's trying to figure out how to get that guy out of prison. He wants the guy to trust him. He's like, I want to represent you pro bono and get you out of jail. So this all seems like a good deal, except of course that this guy hates Harvey because he's the one who put him in prison. He's innocent. So that whole convincing thing was pretty good.
Awesome was Chi McBride?
That's the thing. I love Chi McBride, and he was great. I liked how he dealt with Harvey. The problem I had was based on his, you know, lip service about he doesn't care about how the last guy screwed up, but he's there to do a good job. He obviously does at the end. He does believe that guy's there. You know, he's innocent, but he's still gonna try to send him to prison for life. Like, that made no sense to me. Like, if you're going to present this guy as being honorable and setting his own record and doing the right thing and not caring about the last guy, just making sure his own job is, you know, he does a good job, they present him as a good guy. And then at the very end, when Harvey's like, look, I have this DNA evidence that the judge won't let me present, but I'm presenting it to you to prove to you that these other two guys are the ones that killed the girl and not this guy. And he's like, well, you can't prove it in court, so this guy's still going to prison for life. I was like, seriously? Like, no, like, that didn't work for me. I did like that the cop, when presented with the same evidence, was like, oh, I put the wrong guy in prison. All right, let's fix this. So that's what I expected Chi McBride to do, and I was disappointed that it felt like cheating, because you've introduced this character in a certain way, and then you flip him because you don't want him to do something with the story. Like, it felt cheap. And actually, as much as I've been talking about how great this show is and how I really like that they don't go to court because they deal with everything outside of court and they do all these cool things.
They rarely go to court.
The finale is a courtroom case. Like, I was really...
Although we still didn't spend that much time in court.
We spent more time than I would have liked. I was really kind of disappointed because it was building up to this really tense, serious kind of finale. And then we spend like 15, 20 minutes in a courtroom. And
my favorite part of this episode was Chi McBride just being in the episode, because I haven't seen him in anything since Pushing Daisies.
Oh, he was in Human Target, which I love.
But
yeah, I mean, Chi McBride was great. He is a great actor. The role that the DA played.
I don't care about what's true or just. I just care about protecting my office.
Right. And I thought that based on how they introduced him, I thought he would have more honor than that. So I was disappointed. And that had nothing to do with Chi McBride. That had to do with the writing. So I was disappointed in that. It wasn't the best finale. I mean, the episode last week was far better than this episode.
I hate, and I've been saying this for weeks, I am over the we're going to expose Mike.
Right.
Because the thing is, if you expose Mike,
the show's over. So it's false. So when you have the whole Trevor comes back again, I was like, dude, we sent you to Siberia. So this guy, the loser friend who they finally sent away, and I was very happy. I was like, he's gone. Everything's great. But I think because Mike is now dating Jenny, they felt like they needed to give that some rap or whatever. So he comes back. Trevor comes back. He helps him out. He's like, oh, can I stay with you, man? You're the only guy I know. I was like, after everything that happened all season, no, you can't stay with me at all. I don't care.
And he lets him.
Yeah, I was like, that's BS. And because he feels guilty that he's dating the guy's girlfriend. That's what that's about. So
I have a question that's about something minor. Real quick.
Go ahead.
What's with the can opener?
Oh, we don't know.
We don't know.
That's the thing. Is there like we have this whole tradition? Bring the can opener. I was like, what?
So it's like Jack and Yanto and the stopwatch, only less clear.
Well, because also they also make it clear that the two of them are not sleeping together.
I love that we have Donna and Rachel drinking.
Yeah, they're having their conversation. Yeah, that was a pretty good conversation.
And just that we're made privy to that there is this intense bond between Donna and Harvey, but know that they haven't consummated their relationship, because that would screw everything up.
Right, but you can tell that Donna's tempted.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I like that, but I just felt like.
I'm surprised they haven't given Harvey more play this season. Mike gets all the
ladies.
Hotties.
Yeah, every woman that shows up that's going to sleep with somebody always ends up sleeping with Mike. But I don't care about Mike's love life at all. No. And so this whole thing with him and Jenny, I don't care. I do want him with Rachel. So I do care about that. But I don't care about Jenny. And so Trevor comes back, and the whole cliffhanger for the season really is that Trevor finds out that Jenny and Mike have been sleeping together. He feels betrayed, so he shows up at the law firm and goes up to Gina Torres to tell her about Mike. And they cut it off like, I have something to tell you.
Boom,
cut.
Boom.
I was like, really? He's not. Even if he does.
She's not going to believe
she's
him.
Not, well, I don't know if she's not going to believe him. But the thing is, okay, if what they say is true, that she's going to look at what is it going to do to the firm.
Yep.
That's her first thing she's going to look at. So she doesn't want to lose Harvey. And every case that they've done all year is going to get screwed up.
Yep.
So her best thing is to
bury the conspiracy.
Join the conspiracy and bury Trevor somewhere.
Do you remember? Does any Mad Men fans here? This reminds me of
Mad Men.
Is first season of Mad Men when Pete finds out Don Draper is really Dick Whitman, and he goes to narc him out to Robert Morse. And
that's a great scene because the guy's just like, yeah, whatever, man. I love that.
And it comes back later to bite Don, because that's how he gets him to sign the contract. But I think it's going to be something similar. Whereas,
right. I mean, Gina Torres is smart. They've established that all season. Mm-hmm. She's really, really smart, and she has seen how good Mike is with Harvey and how he deals with the case. So she's seen his ability, right? So it's not, well, the ability thing is not the issue. She doesn't care if he's the most talented man in the world. What she's going to care about
is the firm's reputation.
Is the firm's reputation. Wait a minute, we got fooled by this guy and Harvey did it? She's going to use it as leverage for Harvey.
I was going to say, she's going to ream Harvey and then keep her under her.
And she's going to use it to keep Harvey under her thumb.
By the way,
right.
How much did you love when when Lewis tries to go in and threaten her?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jessica was like, I'm not the one that takes threats. I'm the one who does the threatening.
Issues threats.
And she totally flew, because he thought he had enough to blackmail her into something. And
he wants to be a senior partner.
Right. She totally flipped it on him. And that was, because she said, what's his last name? Something little, Littman, nobody and who cares or something. She's like, when you're the head of that firm, let me know. Like, that was pretty good.
I'm glad they've given
I
his
care. That actor so much.
You do what?
When he's about to tell her off at the end, he snaps his mouth at her. And then he just walks away.
Well, because he knows that he's afraid of her. Like,
and should be.
Right. And he comes in talking all that smack. He has courage for all of like 5 seconds, and then she just totally crushes him. And also, he has this like weird, like, he kind of has a crush on her too, which is sort of,
oh, it's she.
Yeah, he totally has a crush on her, so he also doesn't know how to deal with that. So yeah, he can't deal with Gina Torres. Just wipes the floor with him.
Yeah, she does.
But I was like, I love the show. I just felt like I was a little disappointed in this finale.
It felt like a misstep.
Yeah. This was every episode that they've had so far this season, I've loved. So for them to, and it feels like they were trying for a different tone than they normally go for. for this finale, and they were going outside of their comfort zone, which I give them, you know, props for trying to do that, but I feel like they went the wrong direction. So, yeah, let's not do that. And I saw an interview with the creator of the show, and they were asking him about second season, and he basically said, well, I'm not going to pull a cheat and have somebody trip Trevor or tackle him before he gets to say something. He's like, that's not going to happen. He's like, he is definitely going to tell Gina Torres something. He was like, well, how much of the story he tells is the question, and what he tells her is the question, like what he reveals. But he's definitely going to reveal something, is what he said. And he also said he kind of screwed himself a little bit because his intention for second season was to skip forward in time and have Mike be a second year associate. But now, because of what he did, he's kind of trapped himself that he can't really do that. He has to kind of pick it up right where he left off.
Well, he can do that, and then after the cold opening, they can go.
That's true.
Blank months later.
That's true. But, you also have to have Gina Torres' reaction. You need that. You can maybe have the first episode, and then you skip maybe on the second, or something like that. But that's basically what he was saying he wanted to do. I feel like some people should tell him that the whole thing with the
old... Get rid of Jenny.
All the baggage from his life, from Mike's life, is not interesting.
No.
And it's like they know it, so they get rid of them for quite a while, and then they bring them back to kind of test the waters. I'm like, no, you guys, they suck. Keep them away. I think every episode this season has been great, except I was a little... this one. Anyway. All right, let's move on. The last thing we have to talk about this week is the season finale of Torchwood.
Oh, Torchwood.
I want my Torchwood back.
Okay, what do you mean by
that? What do you mean? Disappointed.
This 24 plus Torchwood equals not Torchwood.
Yeah. Right.
And
wait, you mean the show 24.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
And we've said it many times, and it felt like Bargain Basement 24 ripoff throughout.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
They need to do standalone episodes, and if they want to do a longer arc within a season, fine, but they did not have enough story for 10 episodes. It was just all over the place.
Yeah, it was just dragged out. I feel that in this finale, there was too much monologuing in the critical point of the episode. They're all standing around either side of the blessing on the Antipodes of the Earth, and they're monologuing.
If someone shoot somebody already,
and
right?
They've had 10 episodes.
It was climbing Mount Exposition.
It was weird. They had so much exposition, and they really didn't have anything to say. That's a weird thing. Like, it's one thing if they had all this information. You know, like, Battlestar's done that. The one where, in the last season, when Anders wakes up in the hospital and he's got all this information that we're like, oh my god, this is really fascinating, but it's really just information. This, you've got all these characters talking. I don't think any of it was interesting. I was like, I don't find any of this really
The only thing...
I know, I'm sitting there looking at the screen and going, oh, get on with it.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is... I felt like they wanted to dot every I, like every question that they posed for the whole season, they wanted to make sure they got an answer for. Because I was like halfway through the episode, and I was like, okay, well, now we know what the blessing is, we know how it works. But then I was like, well, how did they make it flip from being, you know, how did they make everyone in the world live forever? What's that got to do with Jack's blood? Like, I was happy, I didn't know the answer to that. And they do tell you, and I feel like they tell you the answers to everything. Like, everything does get explained, except...
Well, that's the thing, they explain it to you, and I'm thinking, oh, haven't you ever heard of Show, Not Tell?
Yes, that's true.
They had 10 episodes.
Right.
They should have parsed... You should not be doing that much exposition in episode 10.
That's true.
You parse out exposition as you need it throughout, and...
Yeah, they should have introduced the concept of the blessing way earlier.
Much earlier.
Yes.
Way earlier so that we knew more about it. Because the thing that I found weird, when I look back, Esther was the one who's like, Jack's blood is important, it's the key. And I was like, what makes you think that? Like, there was no reason that...
Earlier in the season, they said, oh, Jack's blood actually doesn't really mean anything. It's not really the key. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, no, well, no, it is the case.
Jack kept insisting on that, and yet every time we actually saw something, it contradicted what he was saying.
Right.
Well, yeah, so, like, oh, Jack's blood isn't special except for the fact that, you know, it is.
Right, and that was the only reason why Esther was like, when he got shot, she made a storage of all his blood, and he was like, I don't know if my blood's that important. Your blood is obviously the key. And I was like, why is his blood? Like, there was no
explanation. Because the script says so.
Right. There was no actual reasoning that we as the audience could get behind to understand why she was stockpiling his blood. And then when you get to
the portal, because he's got the TARDIS energy in him from because of what Rose did.
Yeah, but that's not in his blood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with his
blood. I think that's what Amy's saying, is it shouldn't be his blood. That's not what makes him immortal.
Right. I know, and he's been saying that too. Jack has been like, it's not in my blood. Trust me, it's not in my blood. Yet, when we get to the end,
when it is.
It obviously is.
And then you get the blessing plus his blood equals immortality. And you're like, okay, what? And then at the end, because Rex got his transfusion.
And you knew it was going to happen because suddenly he pulls a Hulk at the end, you know, when he's had like all the blood just burst out of his body. There's no way in the world he should even be conscious. And yet somehow he gets up and does this little Hulk toss of the bad guy over the, you know.
Yeah, the Hulk toss made me laugh because I don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
Well, I figured the only thing I thought of is, oh no, he's not going to turn into Jack and become immortal. Oh please, no. And then of course he does.
Well,
right.
And
the way they do it is to wrap up that stupid, speaking of Tom's 24 thing, the stupid mole character thing.
Right.
The whole thing was so dumb.
It was terrible.
Who announces to an entire room when you know there's a mole in the room? You look for the mole in the room.
Clearly, this purse here. Don't you worry about that thing.
Like, do it. The only.
Do you mind if I check my bomb here? I'll be right back.
The only thing that I thought of last night was, because when I didn't expect Rex to actually become immortal, because I was like, okay, well, Rex and Esther, I thought they were both going to die because they got shot. And I was like, well, at least one of them is probably going to die. And then they're at the funeral and it's Esther that dies. And I was like, how the heck did Rex manage to survive? He was hurt way more than her. And then when you do the thing and he becomes immortal, I was like, holy crap. I wasn't necessarily negative about it. I was more like, okay, now what does that mean? And then my thought after that, I went, maybe Rex is the freaking big head in the jar at the end. Like, because maybe Jack
is the face of Beau.
Yeah, so Jack avoids the
Jackson.
Yeah, I don't think you're given the Davies way too much credit.
Well,
I don't think that's what it is at all.
Well, the only reason I think that is I was trying to avoid Jack ending up a big head in a jar at the end.
Well, right.
Yeah, so if
you... I think it might be more that if they wanted to, they can now spin off Torchwood without Jack and Gwen, because now you've got an immortal, an American immortal.
Yeah,
no.
It's not Torchwood.
I'm not saying you want that. I'm saying you could, though.
Not really.
Except that by the time this thing ended, you know, there were infomercials that were getting higher ratings than this, so I don't think there's going to be any hope in hell that this is going to get a sequel.
I got to say, I actually wanted to take a questionnaire around the room. I know what Libby's answer is, and she knows what mine is, because I was pretty much on the fence to watch this season at all, and I'm pretty much out. Unless Torchwood, I'm now at the point like I am with The Killing, where one of you guys would have to watch the whole season and go, Pete, it's fantastic. And I'd be like, all right, I'll watch it. And I'm just curious, anybody else, if Torchwood were to come back, would you watch it on a weekly basis, or would you wait?
I would watch it on a weekly basis. Of course I would. That's my show. Even though I was disappointed with how it turned out and how it went, that's my fandom.
Wait, what do you mean that's your show? Wait, what does this mean?
This means that's one of my major fandoms.
That's, whoa, I didn't know that. This is a nice reveal for the podcast. This is one of your biggest shows?
Are you kidding? Have you not met Amy?
I've never seen Amy.
Amy dresses up as Doctor Who characters and stuff.
Is a major cosplay character.
She dresses up as Gwen. She's Gwen.
Okay. Because I love Doctor Who. I totally like Doctor Who, but I've never liked Torchwood. So it's possible.
Infidel.
Yes, that's not possible at all. I don't understand how that's possible.
Well, Allison, you're like that, right? You don't love Torchwood either.
No, I've never been enamored of Torchwood. It's always been hit or miss for me. I loved Children of Earth. I thought that was brilliant.
Me too.
But other than that, it's always kind of left me cold.
Wait, so Tom, would you be back?
I'd be back, but man, I want real Torchwood, not watered down, pasteurized, homogenized Torchwood.
Well, you're not going to get that.
And stop breaking up the team.
Yeah.
That was another thing, too.
Good
the whole
Lord.
Yeah, that was really frustrating, too. You know?
Right.
I have another question about Rex. So how come he was shocked when he came back to life after he got shot at the very end? But he didn't seem very shocked when he got up after having all that blood flow out of him and threw the guy over the railing. How come then he didn't realize?
Well, I mean, I think he was disoriented at that point.
Yeah, that might have just been he's freaking out. Look, the world's... I'll give that, you know.
Yeah.
I'd also say that he's never been the sharpest pencil in the book.
That's true, because you were talking about now that they made Rex immortal, they can have the show without Jack. And I was like, no.
No.
Because Rex is not that bright. He doesn't have... Also, the actor doesn't have enough to carry a show. He can't.
Mekhi Phifer. He's a great supporting
character.
He's
supporting, but he is not a lead.
Yeah, I do like Mekhi Phifer, but I would agree. He's better as a supporting.
Yeah, and I feel like... I feel like you put the two of them together, both being immortal, I think Jack would have a ball having an immortal buddy. Like, he's like, hey, let's go jump off a roof. That would be awesome. You know, like... I think that from that perspective, he's never had anybody who's been immortal with him. So I think Jack would have a ball with another immortal. So that's just like just asking for... I could see the fun from that.
Here's my biggest question. Why Oswald Daines? You didn't really need him.
Why was he hanging out at the end?
You didn't need him as a character throughout.
You're absolutely extremely arbitrary.
He was the best part of the... But he was the best part that I was liking.
It was a great performance, but it didn't mean anything to the storyline.
No, you're absolutely right. It doesn't really.
I did, however, really like their conversation when Jack was telling Oswald how small he was. That was really good. Like
it was a nice moment. But yeah, if you look at the character, you could, as far as what he contributed to the overall storyline, you could have replaced him. It was interchangeable with any other type of character.
Okay.
I mean, you could have as far as what he contributed to the beginning of the show is, you know, getting in front of the audiences and bringing in a cult and that, you could have replaced him with a crooked politician, you could have replaced him with a cult religious leader, and frankly, even that part of the story, where did it lead to? It just kind of fell off and disappeared.
Okay, so I'd like to mention a couple of things that I like about Miracle Day, character-wise.
Okay, go ahead.
I really liked Jilly Kitzinger as a character. She was a juicy character, just not just the lipstick and everything, but I love her acting. She was so in there, like evil.
Yeah, she was smarmy, and I think at the end, I was really hoping she blew up. I was like, why are they saving her?
I'm glad they saved her because you could see her. She was cut down to size at the end, and that was really interesting. It's like, ooh, what's Jilly gonna do next?
Well, the only thing about that is when they're like, oh, the family has a plan B, and I was like, oh, no, please not. Like,
yeah,
I don't want the next season, if we have one, to be about the family.
I think the family should be like the recurring.
They could be in the background. Yeah, but they shouldn't have the main plot.
No.
And also, I thought that Eve Miles was really good, her acting this season. Well, I'm biased because I really like her. But
what are you talking about? I'm sorry, who are you talking about?
Gwen.
Oh, the girl from Dragon Age 2.
What?
What?
She's the voice on Dragon Age 2.
Yes, the actress.
Oh, I do like, I like her, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought she was trying her hardest to work with some of the lines that she was given and the material she had towards the end of the episode, but overall, she's excellent.
Right.
I'd like to see her in more.
One thing I like about the British shows is they cast real-looking people.
Right.
And when we first meet Gwen, my first thought was, she's not pretty enough to be on TV.
Right.
And then once I get to know the character and the actress, I'm like, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I agree.
Certainly if she was on American TV, they'd make her fix her teeth.
You'd never see
that little gap in the front.
Ah, right.
Gives her so much character.
Gwen is great, and I know that some people don't like Reese, but I like Reese and Gwen together.
I love Reese.
I love her.
And that baby is the cutest.
I know. The cutest baby on earth. I think it's not real.
It's the husband.
Now, actually, I have to say, I normally love Gwen, but in this series, she was screaming a lot, and that got on my nerves.
I love her.
You know, she's terrific normally. But they really gave her very little to do except, you know, throw a lot of tantrums and weep and wail and screech. And that drove me nuts because normally her character is a lot more capable than that. Yeah. And it kind of drove me crazy.
Which, to be fair, I think Allison's right. However, I will say she does come through at the end, though, when the blonde girl gets shot and she's like, we just got to keep going, you got to keep going. Well, then she is kind of like not being a whiner anymore.
Well, the thing I thought was also hard, and I thought that was really good, was when she had to kill Jack, because she didn't know if she was really killing Jack permanently,
mm-hmm.
or if he would come back, because I was thinking, I was like, okay, so they're going to use his mortal blood to reset the blessing. I was like, well, if they reset the blessing, that makes the rest of the world immortal and makes Jack immortal, so it should work out if they do the timing just right, which is...
Really? There was anyone who had a question?
Well, you know, I was technically
really?
Speaking...
Really? That was a nail-biter for you?
Yeah, I was a little... Well, because one, they were talking in the news about whether the show was going to come back and what Russell T. Davis was going to do, blah, 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 so during the interview...
He's the only real asset for the show. There's no way they're going to bring back Torchwood without Jack Harkness.
Well, I agree. Well, I agree. There's no Torchwood without him, but, you know, I still, you know, had to go... I was in the moment with the show, and they did make a very impressive hole in his chest. So I was like, no. But the thing is, because we've seen Jack die so many times,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like... Oh, he's got shot again, you know. But
he was nothing but an arm once. So
that's right.
Yeah, but I did like the emotional moment of she's like, you know, Jack, I know you can't commit suicide, you can't do it, but I'll do this for you. And he's like, thank you. And I liked that moment between them. I thought that was pretty good. And one thing about this series, like you said, when they're splitting people up and everybody's like not in the same place. I think it suffered because that relationship between Jack and Gwen is really...
It's the key.
It's the key to the show. And if you don't have them together, the show suffers. So I'd say overall, everybody was not as impressed about this season of Torchwood as we would hope. I was really looking forward to this in the beginning. Now, I mean, I thought the end was all right. It wasn't great, but I'd say overall, I'd have to say, if somebody asked me, should you watch this season? I'm like, you can. You don't have to. And if this is actually the last season, I would tell people end on Children of Earth and be done.
Okay.
You know, because the Children of Earth ending feels like an ending. This didn't really feel like an ending. So if they don't actually do another season, I'd be like, just finish season 3 and stop. But if they do
with a lot of TV shows, unfortunately, there's a lot of shows where we'll love it and we'll be like, oh, just forget the last two seasons, you know?
Right. That is true. All right. So let's wrap up. If you have any questions or comments, remember to send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com
or leave a comment on the Facebook page.
Yes. Leave a comment on the Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter because Amy is the one putting up all the news for that. Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
And we are on the Point Radio, getthepointradio.com. Well, when they come back up because they got hit by the hurricane. And also, we will be premiering in a week or two on Krypton Radio. Look at us. Talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.